Okay, I want to get to this Urban Meyer thing at 2:15, so make sure you're here for that. In the meantime, Michael Thompson is here. Momo is sitting in for John. John will be back tomorrow. So, Michael, I found a perfect item for your new home.
Ooh,
okay?
Sweet. Yes.
LG has announced a brand new 325-inch TV.
325 inches.
325 inches.
How big is that in feet? Anybody off the top?
Well,
of your head?
I mean,
well, 12
I...
inches and a foot. 12 inches and a foot. So,
yeah.
How many? How many inches again?
325.
Yeah.
It's like 30 feet.
Yeah, I've got a 85 incher in my living room.
That is nothing.
27 feet.
27 feet.
27 feet, Michael. That is perfect for your living room.
Well, that's even that for my living room. That's a little too big. You need to have that in something like a some kind of mansion, like the Ireland mansion or something. It has to be like a
sure the Ireland the yeah. Ireland prep room.
Yeah,
right. It's perfect for it. No, guess the cost of a 325-inch TV.
Well, let's see. The prices of these big screens have gone down a lot. So I'm going to guess this one is $15,000.
How about $1.7
million?
What? Yep, $1.7
wow.
million.
Oh, come
dollars.
On. Who's going to yeah. buy that? Jeff Bezos won't even spend that kind of money.
Rich folk, Michael. You know how the other half lives. You know how the other half lives.
How
rich
big,
folk.
But think how big your room has to be to put that in.
It has to be a gigantic
yeah.
room. It really does.
It's kind of like a wall.
Right.
It's like a TV that goes across a whole wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've got, I think, a 75-incher, and I'm totally happy with that. I can't imagine needing a bigger TV than that.
Yeah, you'd have to have one that's like sort of a, what do you call it, a ballroom hall in your house. We've all seen them in the mansions.
Exactly.
Yeah, that
exactly.
kind of thing. No, nobody's going to, no regular person's going to buy that. A generator.
All right, so
generator,
so
yeah.
Michael, they are, they're changing or at least talking about changing some rules
yes!
in the NBA, including one that really is necessary.
Oh, man.
Which
yeah.
is final 2 minutes of the game.
Yes. I'd even improve on that.
Who tipped the ball out? Who's the ball off of? How many of these reviews did we have this last couple of years
I remember,
in the final 2 minutes of a game?
Yeah, and one of the Phoenix playoff games, Ramona, it took an hour to play the fourth quarter. That is ridiculous. And I remember sitting there in one of the fourth quarters, like the last 2 minutes, I was timing it, and against the Suns game, I think it took like 29 minutes to play 2 minutes. It is ridiculous what the NBA has done to this game, how they've ruined it. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I propose. Put me in charge of common sense in the NBA.
Okay, sense in the NBA, Michael Thompson.
We keep the reviews for flagrant or not flagrant fouls, Ramona, okay? We do that for the whole game. You got to keep that. But here's number one. Now, on the end of the game recalls, I would improve it even more. No call, see if you guys tell me if you agree with these, Ramona. No call reviews until under a minute in the game. None in the first half.
So no coaches challenge?
Yes, one coach's challenge allowed, and if you win the challenge, you get to keep the challenge. But you cannot use the challenge with under a minute to go, just to keep the game flowing.
Okay.
So even if there's an egregious call with less than a minute to go,
right.
you don't want there to be a review.
You got to use it before the last minute of the game if there is going to be a call. Number two, intentional fouls out at half court, Ramona, on a fast break results in two free throws and possession. How many times do we see that, you know, it's the European style where they just reach out and grab the guy to prevent a fast break? From now on, I hate that. Jeff Van Gundy says it all the time in the telecast. That should be a flagrant or something like an obvious foul, deliberate foul, where you get two free throws in possession to stop that because it stops the exciting fast breaks in the game.
I actually think that's a really good idea.
Yeah.
So it's two shots and possession.
For just for reaching out and not making a defensive play.
Okay, I'm with you on that. I like that a lot.
Number three. No, me and Ireland are so sick of this rule, Ramona. I don't know about you. No defensive 3 seconds. For what? It doesn't slow up the game if Rudy Gobert is standing in the middle of the lane.
They put that in there to discourage people from playing zone.
But Ramona, we play zone in Olympic games, international games. I played in zone. It doesn't stop the game if Rudy Gobert is camping out in the middle. You can still play. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop you from running
your
plays.
Completely agree, Michael. I'm for less fouls. Less fouls.
There it is, another one. Oh, I wish they would definitely adopt this one. Under 2 minutes in the game, Ramona, only one timeout is allowed.
Ooh.
Allow the game to flow.
That's what the game needs.
Yes. What do you think about that, Ramona?
The game needs
I
don't care if you got four timeouts left on the board. You're only allowed to call one timeout under 2 minutes. Let the players decide what's going on. You can tell guys doing free throws or whatever to do, what play to run. But while the game's going to last 2 minutes, let the game flow.
Yeah, that's what the game has missed.
Yes.
Has You get into a great game.
I'm anti those last two. I like
Phoenix game, Michael. That game was a joke.
It ridiculous.
Could have been a spectacular game, but because it took so long to play the end of it, it detracted from what makes basketball beautiful, which is that up and down flow.
Every time.
I know, but still, there's so many. There's plays you got to call. There's
Ramona,
at the end of a game.
How did we survive in the NBA 30 years before this? The games were fine. We didn't go to every call in the last 2 minutes. Oh, do your old circle finger out. Oh, we get sick of seeing that. What about that, Ramona? How about one timeout under 2 minutes ago? That's it. One timeout.
I don't know if I go with that.
Why?
Because I feel like people need those timeouts. Like coaches need those timeouts to call up, to drop the play they need, to advance the ball. And I also don't like the one about the defensive 3 seconds, because in international basketball, I don't like the international style where there's just like a big man camped out there in the lane all the time.
But does it slow down the game, Ramona? No.
I think it changes the game. Like Giannis, like he hates.
But changes the game for the better.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. It just clogs the lane. Nobody can get to the basket.
That's not true. In international basketball, the game's wide open. Just it's called ball movement, Ramona. My goodness.
Have you ever seen Giannis play for Greece?
Oh yeah.
It's not fun. He doesn't like it because they just pack the paint. They just put guys in there.
How about this? Learn to shoot a freaking jump shot then. Jeez. How about that, huh? Improve your game, Ramona. If you couldn't hit a curveball, wouldn't you be working on it as a softball player?
No,
well, there you go.
If you were Ben Simmons, wouldn't you be working on a jump shot? Yeah.
Exactly. Come on. Just because Giannis don't like it, we shouldn't have a zone defense because he can't shoot.
Please. Boys, everybody get into the lane, though, right?
Michael, that's number four. What's the last one?
That was it. That was my five.
Those are the five.
One coach's challenge allowed. That's it. And if he wins and he can retain it, no defensive 3 seconds, only half court to deliver it to foul on a fast break. That's two shots in possession. So just things that would speed the game up and encourage people to play defense and let the games flow more.
Yeah,
one more thing, and this is a big thing, and me and Phil Jackson and John Island have been screaming about
totally
this forever.
Yeah, I totally disagree with this one.
How about this one, Ramona?
Okay.
This makes so much sense. I don't know why Mason is disagreeing with no foul outs anymore. Here's what, Mona, if you commit your sixth and foul and beyond, if that player commits a foul and beyond to dissuade them from doing that, if that player commits a seventh foul, eighth, whatever, it's two shots in possession. That way, guys won't just be hacking to stop. It'd be too punitive to keep fouling. But in the meantime, Ramona, you don't take your stars out of the game.
I don't hate that. I like watching guys who have
to play with a certain level of discipline.
Mason, you go to the Staples Center. All of a sudden, boom, Kevin Durant picks up two quick fouls. He goes and sits out for the next 40 minutes.
Do you think that's fun? Don't foul out.
Oh, come on. The basketball is the only sport in the world, Ramona, where the stars take their stars out of the game.
It really changes games when somebody gets into foul trouble and they sit for half the.
Right, and to me, that's part of the game.
But Mace,
if somebody
gets
into foul trouble, they do play differently. Coaches need to adjust.
People are paying $100,000, $500,000, whatever, to come see the stars play. They don't want to see Steph or Harden or Durant or LeBron sit down after two quick fouls because now he's done for the next 30 minutes? Come on.
All right, I want to let's talk some Lakers right now. So, obviously, we're getting ready. We're less than 30 days, I think, to the first preseason game.
Size 12. You know what size 12 is, Mace?
No, what's that?
That's my ring size. I got to send it into the Lakers.
Oh, Michael Thompson's ring size. He's ready
to remind them.
Ready for another one. All right. So yesterday, Carmelo Anthony was on with Stephen A. And Stephen A., this was on First Take. And Stephen A. asked him about, he asked the obvious question. What about all this age that you guys, you guys are an older team and people are saying too old. Listen to how Carmelo responded. Doesn't have it, okay. He basically said,
because it was a dumb question.
We old as hell, is what he said. Old as hell, he said jokingly. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a knock. Okay, go ahead and play it now.
That's the one thing that's eluded you in your entire illustrious career is a trip to the finals and obviously a championship. How are you feeling about being a member of the Los Angeles Lakers, even with everybody saying that y'all are the oldest team in the league? Because y'all are.
Well, I mean, that's a fact. Ain't nobody saying nothing that's not a fact. We old as hell, Steve. You know that in basketball sense. But I just think that what we all bring to the table is a wisdom that a lot of people don't have. Like the way that we're able to, that we're going to be able to come together, hold each other accountable, have each other backs. You know, we have the most knowledge on this one team than the whole NBA have, I think. So if we can't put that together and make something work, then that's on us. That's not on nobody else. And that's something that, you know, that I'm looking forward to. We all talk about it. We all discussed it. We know what's at stake. We're going to have fun with this journey. We're going to enjoy this journey. We're going to embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, wisdom comes with age. And this is a team that is built to win right now. It's okay to have older guys right now. Veteranship is very underrated. These guys, a lot of them have been in the playoffs, have been in the finals, have tons of experience. I just think the age is actually a benefit to this team.
The idea behind it is, yes, they're all old, and not all, but a lot of them are. They're going to have to load manage. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be everything that happens to you when you're old. We've all gone through that. All of us are, you know, seeing what happens after 35. There's a nice cliff, okay? But if you have enough people and you have enough young guys that can kind of carry you through that, you want to be fresh at the end. So I think the Lakers are looking at it as, we just need to be, as long as all our guys are healthy for the playoffs, they're fine.
Yeah, Frank will manage their minutes. They're in the mid-30s. LeBron's a physical specimen.
Yep.
The only one who's got, who should have feeling a lot of, not pressure, but the responsibility.
Yeah, pressure.
The responsibility to play a lot of minutes, and I'm talking about 36 a game, is Anthony Davis. He's 27, 28. He's coming into his prime. So he needs to play 36 minutes a game. But everybody else, all these old guys, Melo's going to play 18 minutes. Trevor Ariza's going to play 15 minutes. So when you're
that age, they'll have to play them back-to-back.
Yeah, and they're all in great shape. None of them are fat and overweight, so they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. And I think there is something to be said for basketball IQ. These guys have been through it.
Yeah.
They've seen it. They've done it. They've been in critical situations. They all have that experience. And that experience is what matters. I mean, in any business, you know, and in any business, that wisdom comes with age. It comes with experience. And I think that's exactly what is going to – and you look at it, the two teams that are the favorites to win the NBA Finals are both older teams. Brooklyn is an older team, too.
Yeah, I mean, Durant's 32 now, I believe, 33. Kyrie's not quite 30 yet, but Harden's 32 or 33. So, yeah, these guys know what they're doing. So everybody's saying the Lakers are too old. They're just hoping that. I was talking to some other guys the other day. The Lakers are the deepest team in the league this year, the deepest team, and that they're going to use that depth to their advantage.
I'll throw that out there. By the way, you can react to anything we're talking about on the show at any time. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Are you one of those people that says, the Lakers are too old to win? Lakers are too old! We'll see if anybody's out there with that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially after we've mocked them. All right, coming up next for you, Urban Meyer. Did you see his press conference?
Oh,
today?
Yeah.
Is he resigning and taking the USC job?
Well, let's talk about it. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Mumbo is in for Ireland. He'll be back tomorrow. Michael Thompson hanging out like he does every Wednesday. And I understand, Michael, you're doing the afternoon show too, right?
Yeah, I got to hang out with Kaplan today. I sound really excited, don't I?
Are you actually staying the whole – you're staying until 7?
It's DeMarco. Kaplan, it's Yom Kippur, so Kaplan's off today.
So me and DeMarco. Oh. Good, I could educate DeMarco on some NFL.
There you
it's
go.
It's Yom Kippur, yeah, but sure. He's like, what, it's not – doesn't start till sundown. Mm-hmm.
Hey, by the way –
getting a little early start on that Yom Kippur, I'm just telling you.
Yes, he
you.
Does.
I'm a Jew, too, so I understand all this.
Did you guys hear me moaning and groaning on Monday Night Football? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what, you yelling at the screen like me? Are you a Raider
fan? What
about? I'm a Lamar fan. Lamar Jackson.
Oh Lamar. Yeah. That.
Those two fumbles, yeah. And then, you know, he needs to run more. He doesn't run enough. Every time he breaks that pocket, that's 20 yards.
I think he's trying not to run.
Exactly.
I think he's been discouraged from running because he's trying not to get hurt.
That's like telling Steph Curry, don't shoot. I don't get that.
But, Michael, you don't have your run game as you get older.
No, I'm talking about he's only 25. Come on.
No, I'm saying as you get old, like as a 30-year-old, you're not running.
He ain't 30. He's 25.
I know, but you've got to learn how to become a pocket passer
so that
you're ready for that
moment.
But
now all of his receivers are hurt. His running backs are done, so he's got to improvise more, go back to his Louisville days.
All right, real quick, I want to we mentioned Lakers, are they too old? Big Rob in Inglewood has a take. Big Rob, you're on 710. What are you doing, man?
Man, I'm inside the drive-thru at Sonny's getting some fries, man.
Nice.
But, hey, I just want to say, hey, I'm a Laker fan, but I'm a LeBron James hater, all right? But
whoa.
I'm a guy who tells the truth, all right? Hey, and these Lakers are too old. And I'm going to tell the truth. They're not going to make it out the West. And you know why? Because of the Golden State Warriors. Mm. These Warriors are reloaded and ready to go. And if they happen to pull off a trade to get a Ben Simmons from 76ers, it's over. It's a wrap.
I really don't think you can be a Lakers fan and a LeBron hater at the same time.
Oh, yes, I can. You know why? Because, hey, I love – Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan is the greatest player in the world, but I'm not a Chicago Bulls fan.
But in 2020, when we won the championship in 2020, you were still hating on LeBron James?
Oh, yes. I'm not a fan, man. Not at all.
Why don't you like LeBron?
Because here's why I don't like LeBron. LeBron is a good basketball player, but right. I feel like a lot of his basketball accolades are just simply given to him because they needed somebody else to replace Michael Jordan so the NBA could continue to make money off of somebody.
Well, okay. Kobe replaced Jordan first, and then LeBron replaced Kobe as Kobe aged. But hasn't LeBron proved that he's lived up to the hype? He surpassed the hype?
I mean, how many finals did he go to in a row?
Eight.
Yes. I don't know how anybody gave that to him.
Am I still on?
Yeah, go ahead.
Look, the dude came straight out of high school.
Yeah, right.
And they anointed him king.
True.
They anointed him.
But he backed it up, didn't he?
He is the king. He went to eight straight finals. He's going to be the leading scorer in history of the NBA.
Okay. But listen, when he first came into the NBA, he had the green light. If Michael Jordan would have came into the NBA at that age, he would have killed.
He did. Michael.
Michael Jordan came out after 1 year.
After 3 years. But he did have the green light.
Thank you.
But he did have the green light with Chicago.
Listen up. Listen up. Mm. Dean Smith even said it himself that I had to put Michael Jordan on a leash in college because if I didn't, this guy would have ate the league up. And I'm saying, if Michael Jordan would have came into the NBA at the age that Kobe Bryant did, his numbers would be far past what James.
LeBron James, right. Wow. All right, Big Rob. Look, you're a great caller. You're welcome on the show anytime. Just couldn't disagree with you more.
Yeah, and if Kareem started when he was 18 as opposed to 22, he'd have 47,000 points now and definitely be out of reach.
Yeah, when is LeBron going to pass?
He got two more years to go if he stays at a certain rate that he is matching so far. So if he stays healthy and stays at the rate he's scoring now, he'll pass Kareem. Two more years.
Well, the other thing with Jordan, too, in the scoring is that he took a couple years off.
Correct.
Right in the middle of his prime, he took that year off to go play baseball, and then was it a year and a half or something?
Yeah.
So he cost himself some air because they were definitely in his prime. And then Kobe, like his first couple years, he didn't even start.
Right.
Yeah.
So Kobe started LeBron, but he didn't even start and play as many minutes early on in his Laker career.
Okay, let's sneak in Charlie and Reseda. Charlie, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
All right, so this is my big argument, is just a few years back, we had a young team, and it was exciting, but that's what we were missing was experience, and I felt like it was hard to watch, but I would take this team any day of the week rather than go back in time and go with a young team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anytime you have a chance to compete for a championship and be one of the four favorites, yeah, you'd definitely take the veterans over the youngsters. No question.
And we got some youth on there. I mean, Taylor Horton Tucker's a young guy.
He's the only
Kendrick
one, right?
Kendrick Nunn's young guy. Malik Monk, young guy. I think they're all going to figure into this year and that can be developed.
True, but they're all role players. They're not like the next Kobe.
Oh, no, no. None of them are the next Kobe. There's no question about that. Hey, thanks very much for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. All right, so Urban Meyer today.
Before we go to Urban, the guy was complaining about LeBron, how much praise he got coming into the league. Think about this, Ramona. Am I wrong? With the hype that was put on LeBron and the expectations on LeBron's back, shoulders, there's only two athletes or two sports people we can think of who came in to start a sport at a young age with the expectations of the world on their shoulders, and they surpassed them.
So you're going to say Tiger Woods?
Tiger and LeBron. Nobody else came in with that kind of hype in the history of sports. You can think of any sport, not Willie Mays, not Tom Brady, no one. Only those two. Not Muhammad Ali. Nobody came and expected him to be the greatest ever. But those two were expected to carry their sport to a different level.
Right.
And they did.
In a way, that makes it harder, too.
Yes.
In a way, that pressure at the earlier career makes it much harder. I mean, when my dad used to watch LeBron games, they were all on TV back in Ohio. He loved LeBron from a very young age because all of his games in high school were televised in Ohio.
And he surpassed the hype. Him and Tiger surpassed the hype that was put on their shoulders.
All right, Urban Meyer, and you know the USC job is open now. Everybody knows that by now. Clay Helton was relieved of his duties earlier this week after they got slaughtered at the hands of a bad Stanford team. I like to drop that in there for you, Momo, at the hands of a bad Stanford team.
I know, Mike. Hey, what if we win this week? What if we got a new quarterback?
So Urban Meyer was asked today in a press conference about the USC job and about whether or not he would ever consider it. Jorge, do you have that?
Unfortunately for you, some rumors came out yesterday connecting you to the USC job. I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it.
There's no chance that I'm here and committed to try to build an organization.
That was a weird question.
Boy.
That was a weird question.
No,
let me just speak as the journalist, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't need to tell him, unfortunately for you, okay? These rumors.
He really did soften it, didn't he?
Yeah, and then he says, I just want to give you the opportunity to refute it. So you're basically saying, I know what you're going to say before you're going to say it?
Well, he was
You're basically saying, I know you're going to shoot me down, so go ahead and shoot me down. Just ask the question.
Michael,
hey, did you see the USC job. Do you have any interest in it? We don't need all the preamble.
Did you see the video, Michael?
Of what?
Of Urban in that press conference?
No.
He was, first of all, he was mumbling. His head was down. He looked no one in the eye. He was not emphatic about it. I am here to win. I am here to build an art. It's like, no interest.
No, he's probably pissed off because he's saying, USC, why didn't you do this 6 months ago?
Yeah, true.
That's what he's
saying. Now, here's the question. Do you think Urban Meyer would really leave that Jacksonville job at the end of this season? Now, he's 0-1 now. He's probably going to be 0-5. He's going to probably be 2-7.
I think they'll be 1-16 this year. Oh.
You think it's going to be that bad?
I think they're that bad.
Okay, so after a 1-16 season, do you think Urban Meyer would bail on Jacksonville? And wouldn't that really reflect badly on his legacy? Let's talk about that coming up next. And is he the great white whale that USC fans – is that the guy that everybody can agree on?
I got to be white?
What? and Mike Bone, the athletic director, Carol Folt, the president, would they actually overlook some of the baggage that Urban Meyer has? 877-710-ESPN. We will dig into that coming up next for you. You can always email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Mace in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So Urban Meyer gave a lukewarm denial that he had any interest in the USC football job today in his press conference down in Jacksonville. Sort of muttered, no, I'm here to program building.
Yeah,
not going anywhere. And everybody seems to think, well, maybe he wants out. No, he's only coached one game. He's coached one game, and everybody thinks he wants out. Now, Momo is projecting they go 1-16.
Oof.
If they go 1-16, maybe he does say, boy, you know what? I can't get the top recruits anymore. I'm working under a salary cap. This isn't what I expected. I'm out of here. Michael, do you think that's possible? Do you think a bad season would be enough to chase Urban Meyer off of Jacksonville?
Yeah, we've seen other coaches quit in the middle of the seasons for better. I think Bobby Petrino did that, didn't he? Leave one program while the season was still going on to join someplace.
Nick Saban in his second year left in the middle of the season.
Yeah, so it's been done before. So if he did it because he just can't resist the temptation of coaching, sure, let him go. And Jacksonville could find a bunch of guys to take his place. It ain't like he's ever won a Super Bowl.
Momo, is he the guy that USC fans
I don't
want
think
the
so.
Most?
I think it's way too much baggage from the Ohio State thing. I mean, that the stories I've been reading about what happened with the domestic violence stuff, you know, and his the guy on his staff, and he knew the former assistant coach, and he knew the family. That's pretty. I don't think SC wants to touch any of that.
Yeah, and I'm curious if he is available and if he does want the USC job, would Mike Bone and Carol Folt, the new president, would they accept that baggage? Say, you know what? He does have baggage. He does have these incidents, but he's the guy that we can win with for sure.
You're an, thing about you're Urban. An SC fan. Would you want him there, Mace? That's a no. If you got to,
yeah,
think
that's
about
a no.
That.
That's a no.
I mean, he quit on Florida. He quit on Ohio State.
Well,
he
but
quit.
After long runs.
Yeah.
And national championships. He's not. He's not necessarily
right.
going to be in the seventh year of a deal. He probably is only a 5-year run, which is basically what he's been at Ohio State and Florida. But yeah, I think he's not the guy. For a lot of people, 877-710-ESPN. He is the great white whale. He's the guy, the one guy that would say the big name, the name that we need. And I, you know what I like to say, you can win the press conference. Doesn't mean you win the season. Win the press conference doesn't mean you win the season. Pete Carroll did not win the press conference, but he was a winner, and they found out he was the fifth choice or the sixth choice or whatever that was for Mike Garrett. I mean, I think there are better candidates out there than Urban Meyer, but some people seem like Urban Meyer is officially the guy. In fact, I wanted yesterday, Scott Kaplan on the Sedano and Cap show I was listening to, he read a tweet that he got from inside the Kansas City Chiefs organization. He didn't say who it was from, but this is what somebody inside the organization wrote about Eric Bieniemy, who's the offensive coordinator. A true leader of men will rebuild from inside out with offensive line and defensive line. Great motivator, big-time network, would have great assistant coaches. I feel like he can go into any home and convince a kid to come to USC, understands what he needs to be the CEO of USC football, will make all aspects of football operations accountable. That tweet says a lot, or text says a lot about Eric Bieniemy. I think Eric Bieniemy is one of the favorites for this job. Adam Schefter has reported that he is interested in it. He's been shunned by NFL teams the last couple of years for head coaching jobs. You'd think he would have had a head coaching job by now.
I heard he didn't interview well.
Yeah, what does that even mean?
It means you know, come across as head coach type material in an interview process, I guess.
What is head coach material?
Somebody who looks like he's in command, who's organized. So maybe he didn't come in there looking like he could do that, even though he can call plays for the great Chiefs offense, but maybe he didn't look like he's a great organizer.
So I don't understand what it means for football coaches, but I do know in the NBA when a guy gets labeled with that, when the coach gets labeled, it's usually one of two things. They walk in and they seem somewhat unprepared, like they're kind of winging it.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like, coaches will come in there and they'll just kind of do the charm offensive, and they'll just act with a lot of confidence and a lot of
swag
and a lot of generalities about the program. And like, they may have some opinions about players on the team or how you want to play, but they'll just try to charm their way into a job. And when you meet with a general manager nowadays, when you do an interview, a real coaching interview, that's not enough. You need to have studied the team. You need to come with a binder full of stuff. I'm not talking Mike Brown level binders with Jim Buss and impressed him and everything. But like, you need to have done like the real scouting. Like, you need to come in like you scouted the team and have 3-4 pages worth of notes of okay, this is what I see from your team. This is where I think you can get better. This is what I think we need to add. This is the type of system I want to run. Like, you need to come with real specifics and details. It's not just about your charisma. And I think that's probably what goes, I don't know what Bieniemy's issue is when he interviews. Maybe he doesn't have the swagger. I don't know him personally, but it's either a preparation thing, it's a presentation thing, or it's a personality thing.
Well, it's the preparation thing. I mean, you know, I tell the story, you know, I know that the three final candidates for the USC job back in 2000, I forget now, the year they hired Sark, 2007, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The three final candidates were Sark, Chris Peterson, and Coach O, who had a very successful run as interim coach. And Peterson comes in with the PowerPoint presentation, all these binders and stuff. Sark comes in with the PowerPoint presentation, all these binders, all this vision. Coach O just came in with some swagger. Hey, look what I just did, guys.
Yep. Everything's on the line.
Everything on the line. And he didn't get the job. It went to, unfortunately, Sark. Peterson, in the end, would have been the right hire over Sark. But again, those guys came in with a vision. They came in with concepts. They came in with a direction.
Yep.
They came in nothing more impressive than a PowerPoint presentation. We had a program director around here. Bergman, you worked here when he was doing this, right?
Who's that?
I don't think so.
You don't? Okay.
No, I was only here
talking
for one.
About, though.
Was,
yeah,
the,
I know
was the otter? The otter?
No, it wasn't
no,
the otter.
No, not the otter. This was a guy who was here a couple of years ago. I'll say his name. I'll use a pseudonym. His name was Larry Gifford. And he
so funny.
He had PowerPoint presentations for everything.
That's
every
great.
Single meeting was a PowerPoint presentation. I'm like, you know, on one level, it was impressive. On another level, it was sort of BS. But a PowerPoint presentation generally impresses people.
Yep.
I bet you almost have to have a PowerPoint presentation to get a big-time job anymore.
Did you learn anything from these PowerPoint presentations?
I learned a lot from, and again, pseudonym, Larry Gifford. I learned a lot about broadcasting from this person.
Yeah.
We'll call him Larry Gifford. And one of the things that I actually did learn from him the most, I will tell you this. He gave us the book, The Alchemist, to read. He showed up at a staff meeting and he said, all right, guys, everybody needs to have their personal mission, their personal legend, as Paulo Coelho writes. It is one of my favorite books of all time.
Yeah.
Now, I had already read it, but I thought it was impressive that he came in with a big box of books, The Alchemist,
like
Paulo Coelho. It was very much. And John Ireland, in the meeting, you could hear him. He didn't say it directly. But Ireland said, he wants us to read a book. he wants us to read a book. But that was the one thing I got. If anybody recommends the book, The Alchemist, I generally think they kind of know what's going on. Have you read it, Momo?
Yeah, at your recommendation.
Michael, have you ever read The Alchemist?
Once.
The last book I read was 1976, Jaws.
Jaws.
Peter Benchley.
That's a read. I love to read, but I don't read books.
Bergman, have you read The Alchemist?
I have not read The Alchemist, but I've been meaning to because everybody says how good it is. Like Jorge said he's read it like 15 times.
Jorge, you've read it a bunch?
Oh, yeah. I have like highlighted portions of it and notes. And all
what's it about?
Stuff. It's about finding your personal legend.
Finding your personal legend.
You don't know that already? Well, you got to read a book to find that out?
No, I mean, I read the book. I already knew, but I had to read the book.
What's wrong with you people? So mentally weak.
It's about a journey, Michael. It's about a journey.
I know my own journey.
Journey to figure out what his mission in life is.
I don't need some guy who never met me tell me what my journey is. What is
he's
that?
He's not telling you. He's opening windows for you and saying, here, look there, look there.
I did that on my own.
Listen to Michael, kids. Don't read books.
Yeah, listen.
Don't let somebody else tell you what your journey is. Figure it out for yourself.
The great role model, Michael Thompson. Jeez. Don't read books.
Oh, I don't know where I'm going in life. Let me tell me. What's this guy's name? Robert? Whatever.
Paulo Coelho. Oh,
yeah, let Paulo tell me where I should go, please.
Wow. All right. I strongly
okay.
Recommend.
Listen. I'm
Jorge,
telling you.
The only book to show you where you should go is the Bible.
Picture.
The Bible. That's
oh,
right.
Don't get me started with that, Michael.
You don't
please.
Like the Bible, Jose?
No, I don't.
Jorge?
Nope.
Jose.
Jose, same thing.
Who's that?
Yeah. I bet Michael's all Old Testament. He's all real. Jonah and the whale.
Oh, I like all of you. I like all those stories.
He's all he begat.
That's right. We're talking to some heathens here, Momo.
I'm more a New Testament guy myself.
Yeah, some New Testament's cool.
All right. Coming up next for you is Jump Ball.
I want Jesus to turn some of that water into wine for me.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Jump Ball is coming up next. Greg Bergman will throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. MT is here for Jump Ball. Now, this will be strangely reminiscent of Radio Tinder, except you don't swipe right or swipe left. Michael, you get where I'm going?
I never knew which one it was either. Anyway.
Yeah,
I know. Left or right.
Right means you like it. Left means you don't like
it. Yeah, we don't do that anymore. Yeah. Now we just we throw the ball up. It's Jump Ball, and Bergman is the guy, is the ref. He throws the ball up in the air. Bergman, what do you got?
All right, and just answer the questions. It's really simple. So how about we start with a little NFL fun?
Okay.
Cooper Kupp was seventh in the league in week one with 108 yards receiving on his seven catches. Can the three of you name the six that had better days? Don't look it up, Michael. I'm looking at you.
Hey. Yeah, don't Google it, Michael.
There you go. Don't listen to these guys.
Okay, I'll say Corey Davis. Didn't Corey Davis have a big game?
Wait,
Corey Davis?
No, Corey Davis is not on the list.
Oh, let me think.
That's one.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill was number one with 197 yards.
DeAndre Hopkins
was not on the list. That's two strikes.
Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper was third with 139. So you're missing two, four, five, and six.
I'm going to take a shot and say T. Higgins.
No, T. Higgins was not. That is three already. I mean, do we want to keep going or just have three strikes and you're out? All right. So yeah. Debo Samuel was second with 189. Oh. Brandon Cooks was fourth with 132. And Antonio Brown was 121, was fifth, and Sterling Shepard had 113 for six.
Well, I got the two I would have got. I wouldn't have got any of those.
I will tell you that Sterling Shepard is available on a lot of waiver wires for fantasy, so keep an eye out for him if he's available in your league.
All right, so a guy on Yahoo Lifestyle named Phil Rosen wrote about a secret sandwich shop that only accepts offers on their private Instagram account by DM, and it's only three times a week. It's called Carla Cafe, and this guy ordered a garlic aioli chicken sandwich and now says it is his favorite lunch spot in Los Angeles. What's cool about it is that this owner, Avi Adut, made a sandwich one day. His girlfriend posted it on Instagram. People asked where to get it, and now he gets thousands of orders a week.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. Check it out. It's at Carla Cafe LA. And so what do you think of an exclusive sandwich shop with DM ordering only, Mason?
Wow, that's
I'm going there right now. I want to see what it is. Oh,
yeah,
so this
I want to see what it is too.
It's private, so you have to request them to be. I requested them.
So you can't even be automatically DM. Their DMs are not open?
No, you have to be friends with them. So like I have
on Instagram?
Yeah, on Instagram, yeah.
You know what? I don't think this is a good idea. I think you're limiting your customer base.
No. How much do they charge? How much?
It doesn't say. You have to look.
Because the whole reason you're writing about them is because it's a secret cafe. So it's really good for marketing. Anything where you have scarcity, something that feels exclusive, people pay a lot of money for.
Yeah, but don't you want volume? Don't you want to sell
Not
a lot
necessarily.
Of
like, he sounds like he's just making the sandwiches himself, right?
Yep, he's making like the sandwiches himself, and he's sending them out, and he's doing delivery and pickup.
So you're making the sandwiches with gloves.
I would assume so.
I can't stand him when people touch their
That's not included in
texting,
the DM
He's texting and making the sandwich. Oh,
yeah. It makes it even worse.
You know what?
Yeah,
actually, that's true.
Followers. Yeah.
Michael, he is. He's texting.
Yeah.
And making sandwiches.
And the phone is like the
and
most
And the phone is
thing.
The filthiest thing in the world.
I wouldn't eat that sandwich.
No, I don't want to take any shine from this guy. Good for him. Yeah, there is such a thing as being really, really exclusive. I've never been big on it. I could care less.
Yeah, Mason, you ate a tooth, so what do you care?
Yeah, I did have a piece of tooth in my Starbucks sandwich one day.
You still go back there all the time.
Wow. And get the exact same sandwich.
Tooth-free, of course.
Yeah. Tooth-free. Got it. When the buzzer goes off, we stop talking about that subject, Michael.
All right.
So Jorge and I were looking at one of the TVs here in the studio in the last break, and a bottom line came up that said, players are afraid to eat junk food in front of Cristiano Ronaldo. If you remember, he said that he took the Coke off of the podium and said, toma agua, which means drink water.
Yes.
So would you be afraid to eat junk food in front of Ronaldo also if you're on this team?
Nah, come on, be a man.
I say screw Ronaldo. Jeez.
Yeah, exactly. Who is he? He ain't my boss. He might be your teammate, but he ain't my boss.
I'll eat my flaming Cheetos right in front of Ronaldo.
Soccer players are so soft. They flop around and not afraid to eat a meal in front of their teammate.
Imagine if it was LeBron and he did the same thing. Would you be afraid then?
I'd give him the old Michael Cooper response. Reproduce yourself.
Yeah, I would eat donuts.
That's what Michael Cooper would say.
I would eat my Popeye's chicken. By the way, that's my ideal dinner. I call Postmates and I say, all right, get me two Popeye spicy chicken sandwiches and six donuts. And that's a perfect dinner for me. And I would eat that right in front of Ronaldo.
That's right, Bass. That's
right, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. He's so cute.
Oh, jeez.
It's like saying, okay.
Wait a minute. So if Jessica Mendoza was eating all health food, you would feel guilty eating junk food in front of her, Ramona?
No, I wouldn't.
Well, there
you go. Well, no, what I'm trying to say is, like, I'm a girl and thinks that Ronaldo's cute. So Jessica's my friend. I would eat whatever I want in front of her. That's fine.
You don't think those guys are his friends on Manchester?
No, I'm saying they're his friends. They don't care. But, like, you guys are his friends. But are you attracted to Ronaldo? Like, are you into him?
Oh, yeah. I'd date him. He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, see, I would not. I would not date him.
Oh, he, why, he's too pretty for you,
really?
Man?
Yeah, kind of too pretty.
You said it. Too pretty.
Oh, come on. There's no such thing. So you wouldn't date Rick Fox?
I'm not going to talk about who I would date. Who I wouldn't date. See, it's not a road I want to go down.
George Clooney.
To be honest with you.
Yeah.
Clooney. Well,
Clooney would be a really good friend. He'd be a great friend.
So you like ugly guys?
No. You know who Mason's get out of jail free card is?
Who?
You know who it is? You'll never guess.
Let me guess. Let me see. Is he an actor?
Yeah.
Danny DeVito.
Oh, no way.
Come on.
That's based on, like, the pretty ones.
Oh man, I'm not.
Mama, you know who my get out of free
I know
card
who it is.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No, I know who it is.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy.
Yeah, he's a good looking guy. Yeah.
I get it.
All right, what's next?
So good.
All right, so I'm not usually a big fan of talking about death on the radio. We try and stay away from it as much as possible. Yeah. But Norm MacDonald passed away yesterday from a decade-long battle with cancer that was not public at all. From what I knew of. But it's rare to find so many people talking about a comedian like this, though. A massively underrated comic. The question is, what was it about Norm's style that just let him get away with so many of the things that he said?
Momo, did you watch what I sent you last night?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was so good.
I cannot believe some of the stuff that he got away with.
This was, what, 10 years ago, though, right? 10, 12, 15 years
ago?
Well,
he did the ESPY Awards. He did the sixth ESPY Awards. And the monologue was outright shocking by today's standards.
Yeah, today's standards gone overboard. I like the old style. I miss Don Rickles.
What was the Charles Woodson bit, Greg? The Charles Woodson bit?
I don't know. I mean, he basically said, you know, at least something about O.J. Simpson, where it was a little bit. I'm not going to do it on the air. He just basically compared him. He's like, don't do what O.J. did, but in a different way.
Yeah. I texted Greg this last night. My favorite Norm MacDonald SNL update story was they showed OJ. They showed Johnny Cochran. Remember he tried on the ski cap during the trial?
Yep. Yeah.
And there was a picture of him with the ski cap on and OJ in the foreground. And Norm said OJ was heard to say, "Careful with that, Johnny. That's my lucky stabbing hat."
Oh,
how do you get away with that?
That is like a classic Norm MacDonald joke. Yeah. He got away with more than anybody.
Don't you miss those days?
Really funny.
Don't you miss those days where you just make fun of each other?
You know,
he still can't. It's not when the cameras are on.
Yeah, there's exactly, such a thing as going too far. There still is a thing. You know, I talked to Paul Reiser recently, and because he was on the podcast, and we were talking about stand-up comedy, and is it more difficult today than it used to be? And Paul said, "Nope, you just got to be smarter and more clever. Mm-hmm. You got to be smarter and more clever. It can still be done, but it's not for amateurs anymore because there's stuff you just can't get away with, and I think that's okay." Break is what I'm told. Break.
Well, that was the buzzer.
That was the buzzer. All right. Yeah. Coming up next, I want to go back to this original question that we started the show with. Dodgers win last night, but the Giants win. Are we beginning to accept our fate that we will be in the one gamer? As a Dodgers fan, have you started to say, yep, we're going to have to go through that 9-inning game, that wild card playoff game, we can't catch the Giants. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN if you're a Dodger fan. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.